church now use the time that we have here over the next several moments, Lord, in an effective way that we could become more accustomed to knocking on doors, telling people about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and seeing a lost world won, Lord, for the glory of God. I thank you, Lord, for those that are being discipled now, for those that are traveling, those that are ill, those even over with the patch, and those back in the nursery. Lord, what a blessing it is to have servants of the Most High God to minister and serve in these different capacities. Now, help us as we learn more how to be effective soul winners. We might see souls won for the glory of God. Thank you for loving us now. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, if you need to move back to your seats, you can move back to your seats. And we're going to get started with the video here in just a minute. Yes, brother, if you could hand out that handout. How many did not get a handout last week? You were here, did not get a handout last week. Okay, the ones that weren't here last week, give them that one, and everybody else gets the other one as well. Does everybody have their handout from last week? If you don't have the handout from last week, raise your hand. Brother Fred will give you both handouts, one from this week, one from last week. So as he comes around, let him know which one you need, this week or last week's. Got several things we're going to try to do here over the next several moments here. We're going to first of all look at about three minutes of the video, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about using a step-by-step soul winning plan or guide that you're going to get. And hopefully that'll be what we need. All right, so the handout from last week is the outline that we are still working on. The one from this week is something that we're going to be working on as well, so we'll look a little bit at both of those outlines here in just a moment. But first of all, I just want to give you the understanding of the video. This is a demonstration of someone knocking on a door and leading someone to Christ. There aren't any objections that the guy raises because this is supposed to be just for training. So don't look at objections and things like that. We'll answer a lot of those questions a little bit later on. But I do want to put this caveat out there as well. Not everybody soul wins the same way. So the way this guy is talking to this individual may not be the way you talk to somebody. Okay, so just keep that in mind. This is the way he talks, the way he's doing it. Your approach may be totally different, but just kind of look at what he's saying and how he's saying it. And then we'll talk a little bit about that here in the next several moments. Amen. All right, Sam, I'll let this roll. Okay, just get the front light, brother. We're going to look at about 3 minutes of it. Everybody see that, okay? Can everybody see it okay with just one light on?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? Pastor Steve Anderson. Just want to invite you to Faith Forward Baptist Church. Do you go to church anywhere?
Yeah, I go to Grace Community Church.
Oh, okay, yeah, right here on Southern Avenue. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, more important than going to church, though, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven?
Well, I think so. I'm a pretty good person.
Okay. Well, could I just take a couple minutes and show you how you can know that 100% for sure?
Sure.
Okay. Well, look. I'll just show you this real quick. It's only take a few minutes, but the Bible says right here in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So we all have sinned.
Right, of course.
I've sinned, you've sinned. Yeah. Okay, and not only that, but the Bible says we come short. Mm-hmm. So do we measure up to what God expects? No, I mean, we come short. And we've all sinned. Well, there's a punishment for our sin. The Bible says right here in Romans 6:23, mm-hmm. it says, "For the wages of sin is death." So what's God's punishment for our sin?
Death.
Okay. Well, look, after we die, though, that's not the end. Okay. No. After we die, there's what the Bible talks about, the second death. I'm going to show you that right here in Revelation 20, verse 14. It says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. So after you die, there's a second death of going to a place called hell, which is the lake of fire, where you're basically punished and tormented, you know, tortured for your sin. I mean, you have to pay for all your sins you've done your whole life. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Then right over here it says, look, all liars. Now, have you ever told a lie before?
I think everybody has.
I mean, every single person. But it says all liars shall have their part. It lists all these other sins. But then it says even all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second. So according to this verse, where are all liars going?
According to that verse, it says they're going to hell.
Okay, but look, God loves us, right?
Yeah.
Do you think, if God loves us, does he want us to go to hell?
No.
No. So because God loves us, but do you think that he just said that, he didn't mean it? I mean, obviously, if it's in the Bible, he meant that. That's the punishment that we deserve for our sins. But because God loves us, he doesn't want us to have to pay that punishment. So here's what God did for us. It says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, so what that basically is talking about, you know, God himself became a human being. Jesus Christ, you know, he's born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, never sinned. He lived a perfect life none of us could live, okay? And of course, you know the story, they lied about him, they arrested him, they beat him, they spit on him, nailed him to the cross, okay? Well, when he was nailed to the cross, the Bible says he who himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. So what it means when it says he bare our sins in his own body, every sin you've ever done in your whole life, every sin I've ever done, when Jesus was on that cross, it was as if he had done it, okay? And so he was being punished for murder, for stealing, for lying, all the sins that we and everyone else in the whole world have committed. He never sinned, but he bore our sins in his own body. Well, when he died on the cross, he was being punished for our sins, okay? They took his body, they buried it in a tomb. His soul went down to hell for 3 days and three nights. He was punished for our sins. What happened 3 days later?
He rose again.
He rose again from the dead, exactly. So, now look, do you believe that Jesus died for everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. You're right, because the Bible says that he died not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Mm-hmm. But do you think everybody's going to heaven, though?
No.
Probably not, right? Okay, well, look, I'm going to show you what the difference is, because obviously everybody's not going to heaven. Mm-hmm. What is it that determines who goes and who doesn't? I'm going to show you right now. It says right here in Acts 16, verse 30, it says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Pretty good question, right?
Yeah.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now, what does that say that you have to do in order to be saved?
It says, believe.
Believe on the Lord Jesus. Does that say that you have to go to church?
No.
Does it say that you have to be baptized? Does it say that you have to give up any of your sins or be willing to give up sin? Like turn your life around, turn over a new leaf. Does it say anything like that? What does it say you have to do?
It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now look, I'm going to show you the most famous verse in the whole Bible. John 3:16. The Bible says right here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means whoever, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because
and keep in mind, brother, go ahead and leave that off. We're going to show another some slides up there. Not everybody is going to witness this way. How many of y'all think that his intro was too abrasive, too abrupt after he knocked on the door? How many think it was too abrasive, too abrupt, okay? For some folks, it might be. How many think it was not too abrasive, too abrupt, amen? For some folks, it's not. What's the point? Everybody is going to be different when it comes to that. Now, what determines how you proceed? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit determines once you knock on someone's door and they open up, the Holy Spirit is going to be telling you what to say, how to say it. Your job is just to be prepared to say it. And so it's going to vary from person to person. There are going to be some people that are going to be standoffish. There are going to be some people that will be wide open. There will be some people that the Holy Spirit has prepared for that moment, that time, and that day, and they're ready to get saved. Amen. And so when you look at that, that's what's going to happen. Look at that one sheet that I've given you here, the step-by-step soul winning plan. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I do want to give you just a couple things about it. On the one side, you've got the step-by-step soul winning plan. On the other side, you've got a Romans Road guide. And only thing this is designed to do is to help you out some. All right. It says soul winning step-by-step plan. Getting on the subject. Ask them, what is your church background? Give your salvation testimony. Now, that's all relative. That means if you can, you want to kind of talk about their background like he did. You want to give your salvation testimony if you can. And you want to try to get them to this question. If you should die right now, are you sure you would go to heaven? That is the ultimate question. People normally want to know that. Now, the ways that you get to that question may vary. May I take a few moments to show you how you can know for sure? That's going to vary. But the basic thing that you have to do once you knock on someone's door, why are we there? Win a soul. A soul can't be won until they get what? Lost. They got to get lost. We got to get them lost first. Carlene, you had a question? Okay. We got to get them lost first. So once you knock on their door, your objective is to let them know that they're blind, they can't see, they don't have Christ, and they need Christ, and there's a penalty without Christ. So that's why you give your testimony if necessary. That's why you ask about church background, because they may have an affiliation. If they do, never belittle their affiliation. Even if they say they're Buddhist or a monk or something like that, don't belittle it. But you want to get them into that point. If you can get them to commit to taking a moment to let you show them from the Bible how they can be saved, now you're cooking. Amen. And then, wrong way. Next one, you can teach them these verses from the Bible. And you've got Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9 and 13. On the back, it gives you a brief description of those, so you can turn that over. And that says what it means to be born again, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Each one of those verses gives you a little snippet of what that verse is talking about. What is your goal? Your goal is to let them know that all have sinned, and all means how many? All means all. So you've got to get them to that point where they understand that they are part of all. What if they say they're a good person? What can you say? Exactly. Again, you don't want to belittle them. You say, you know what? There are a lot of good people. But good doesn't get us to heaven. So again, you don't want to belittle them, because if you say, well, you're not good, then there you go. Even though we know the Bible says there's none good, there's none that do. We know what the Bible says. But you don't want to belittle them. So you want to get them to the fact to agree with this principle. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And they have to identify that they are part of all. Everybody got that? Amen. And then once you get them to a part of all have sinned, you've got to get them to the penalty of sin. If there is no penalty for sin, there's no reason to do anything, right? But because there is a penalty for sin, and it's death in hell, that something needs to happen. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But then Romans 5:8 says Jesus paid the penalty. That is one of the best verses that you can give to them. But God commended his love toward us. Now, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So you want to let them know that even though they have sinned and there's a death penalty over their head, that Jesus paid their penalty. And if you can throw in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Letting them know that Jesus paid the penalty. Most folks will know John 3:16. That if they will believe that and repent and receive Christ, God will save them. Now, you say, preacher, that's just too easy. Well, it looks easier up there. It takes some doing to get them to that point. Because, again, you've got to make sure they comprehend each one of these verses. Romans 3:23, you've got to make sure that they comprehend that they have sinned. You've got to make sure they comprehend the penalty of sin is death. You've got to make sure they comprehend that Jesus paid it for them. And then you've got to make sure they comprehend with their hard minds. Go over to Romans. Well, just turn that sheet over there. And notice number 4. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the confession is with the mouth and the believing is in the heart. So as you're taking them down through the Bible, make sure that they understand and they can comprehend that the prayer in and of itself is not going to save them. All right? Let's stress that. The prayer can't save them. What's going to save them? Believing in the heart. Notice what it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe where? In thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that is something that you have to make sure they know. And then come down here. If you can get them to that point, It says now you can bow, ask them to bow their head in prayer. You pray first and ask God to help them be willing to receive Christ. Now, normally I'll do something like this. Lord, I've got John Joe here, and he's going to ask you to save him. Lord, give him the courage, give him the faith and the strength to trust you at your word when he prays. In Jesus' name, amen. Then I'll ask them, okay, now, do you want to pray your own prayer? Again, there's three options. They can pray their own prayer. You can help them pray a prayer, or they can repeat a prayer like it is on this sheet. Everybody's going to be different. How many had somebody help them pray and get saved? I did. The guy said, Brother Dunn said, all right, you need to pray and ask God to save you. I said, I don't know what to say. I said, since you already saved, you help me. Figure, if you already saved, you know what to say, amen. So always give them those three options. Notice it says, have them pray aloud and receive Christ. Why do you want to have them pray aloud? Who's that? You are sending out loud to God. There's another reason as well. The Bible says confession is made. Yeah, Charmaine? Make sure they're on the right track. They could just bow their head and say, Mary had a little lamb. And then you're all excited. Well, praise God. You asked God to save you. And they're thinking, no, I just said Mary had a little lamb. They don't. Now, again, the prayer can't save them, but you can help direct them with the prayer. One of the first things that they've got to understand is, right back here, they've got to understand they sinned against God. And so if they don't mention something like that in their prayer that they've sinned against God, then that there's going to be some problems there. So praying out loud is going to help them identify that, yes, Lord, I have sinned. Yes, Lord, I deserve death and hell. Yes, Lord, I believe Jesus paid that penalty. And yes, I'm going to repent. I'm going to receive Christ now. So if they audibly say that, you can help guide them and direct them better. Yes, Ms. Dawson? Amen. And so what do you do in a situation like that? She said, I never prayed in front of anybody. What do? Amen. You do exactly what Mrs. Dawson said. Exactly. You cannot force them. You cannot make them. You cannot open their mouth. You can't parrot their mouth. And so she asked her the questions. Did you ask this? Did you ask this? Now, it's up to her to admit whether she did or did not. Again, at the end of the day, who's getting saved? That person is supposed to be getting saved. If they didn't do what they should have done, then whose fault is that? Theirs. So I'm already saved. I'll tell folks in a heartbeat. I think, didn't I mention that to you guys, Aaron? When you guys got saved, I said, I'm already saved. So my prayer is not going to save you. But you have to believe it in your own heart. Why? I'm already saved, so I don't need to get saved. But I can help someone. And so that's a good point Ms. Dawson brought up. Sometimes they may not want to. Or you may have someone that can't read. Like one boy I led to the Lord. And I said, here, read this. And he said, I can't read. A grown man I led to the Lord. He said the same thing. He said, I can't read. He said, can you read it for me? Amen. So you may have some people that will be a little afraid of that. So praying out loud audibly gets them to admit their sin, the death that's going to be caused by the penalty, and the repentance part that they have. And so it says, bow at their head in prayer. You pray first, have them pray aloud, receive Christ, lead them in a sinner's prayer, phrase by prayer if needed. Now you pray thanking God for their decision. Again, what can you do? Give them the assurance verses. Let's go over, if you got your Bibles, open them to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. These are good assurance verses to give them once they do accept Christ as Savior. Romans 10, 13. Most of us know both of these verses, Romans 10, 13 and Romans 5, 12. Who's got Romans 10, 13? Can read that for me? Lily, read that one. And Pastor Wright, you get Romans 5, 12 for me. Amen. So now, what you need to do as a person that's leading them is give them the assurance of this verse. The Bible says, for whosoever, and you ask them, put your name in there, for whosoever, for John, for Jill, for Sally, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. When you use John 3:16, do the same thing. For God so loved John, or Sally, or Jill, that he gave his only begotten son. So give them the assurance. Let them know if they called on the Lord, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Pastor White, 1 John 5:13. Amen. So they may say, well, how can I know that I have eternal life? That verse actually says they can know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You ask them, did you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you ask him to save you? Did you believe in his death for you, his burial for you, his resurrection for you? Did you believe that for you? They say, yes. Say, well, this verse says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So God wants them to know that they have eternal life. Verse 12 even concretes it a little bit more. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So everybody's on one or two sides of that at all times in their life. Either they have the Son and they have life, or they don't have the Son and they don't have life. They're going to be on one side or the other. And it says that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So that verse, these two verses here, Romans 10:13 and 1 John 5:13 are very, very good assurance verses. One of the things that you should do afterwards is encourage them to attend the next service and make a public profession of their faith. What does that do? That solidifies in their mind that I made a commitment to Christ, and I'm not ashamed of my commitment of Christ that I made. And that's what the public profession does. It helps them to identify themselves with the other believers right away that they are saved. Now, you can't make them do it, but you encourage them to do it. Amen. Then again, here, encourage baptism as the next step for believers. The other side of that is just telling you how to use it and how to actually get familiarized with it. Notice what it says down here. Never put the person down. Don't criticize the religious background or denominational affiliation. This is a good plan that you can keep in your Bible, and you can use this, and this will really help you out. Now, it's going to take some work to get to be able to use this effectively. And that's why we're having you practice on someone. Next week, we're going to actually have you take this, what it means to be born again, and use that and walk somebody down the Romans road next week. And you're going to use your Bible. All right. So any questions on this thus far? Again, this is just a simplified form of how to lead someone to Christ and how to walk them through here. Notice what it says down here at the bottom here. This next sheet, right down here at the bottom, it says, note, not everyone that gets saved will come to church. However, we must do our part to invite and encourage them after they get saved. They are spiritual babies and need understanding and support. Be sure to follow up if they do not make the service agreed upon. Once they're saved, make sure you spend time needed to help answer questions so they can grow. So, again, a lot of information on here that you need to do to make sure that the person knows what the next step is. By the way, when babies are born, do they know what to do? No. Babies know how to do one thing good. What is that? Cry. A young Christian that just gets saved doesn't know how to do anything, spiritually speaking. And it's up to the person that led them to Christ to kind of walk them through and let them know what's necessary. And that's what these steps here talk about. So that's on the other side. Let's switch sheets here just briefly. Go back to the soul winning training guide that we had, that I gave you last week, that had the outline on it. And brother, let's pull that one up, the other PowerPoint slide, soul winning training. Any questions on this soul winning plan? Yeah, Ms. White. It really depends. I wouldn't encourage it because it scares people away, especially if you're door knocking. Because Jehovah's Witnesses carry their big Bibles, and we don't want to be misconstrued with them. For us, the pocket New Testament or some slim lined or something small that you can carry in your purse is better because it's not as scary and it's not as intimidating. Normally, if you come out with a big Bible, folks say, oh, boy, here they come. And so I encourage folks to have a pocket testament, something you can slip right in here, something you can put in your back pocket. One of the Soul Winners New Testaments is best for us. Now, that's all someone has. Amen. But I would prefer the New Testaments just because they're easier and they're just quicker to get around. Yeah, Charmaine, you had a question? And different people are going to do that different ways. Brother Lancaster, he'll wear his tie and his suit jacket. And I just don't do it just because I'm too easily identified with Jehovah's Witnesses. So I don't think it serves us here for our church. Now, Brother Lancaster, he can get away with that. This guy can get away with that. But normally it doesn't work for us. And so I feel more comfortable in a collared shirt and some slacks with a Bible. New Testament, not the big Bible, not the suit and the jacket. And that's my personal preference that I have for us here at Shining Light. Now, if somebody comes out in the time, I'm going to turn them away. No, I'm not. But it's just not, I don't think it's suitable for our purposes here. So that's a good point. Soul winning training. All right. Let's just briefly look at what we went over last week. And I want to cover a couple things here very, very quickly in our slides. Oops, am I going the right way? Okay, not that one, brother, the other one. That's the, sorry about that. Yeah, that one. Okay, yeah, that's one. Okay. So we talked about why we go. We're commanded to go. We looked at that last week. Matthew tells us to go. Mark tells us to go. Luke tells us to go. John tells us to go. And Acts 1:8 tells us to go. So we know that we're commanded to go. But there's another reason as well that we didn't talk about last week that I normally do mention. John chapter 14. Go over there for me real quickly. John chapter 14. And this is another reason why we go. John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said there, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so another reason that we go is not just because we're commanded to go, but because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to go because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who saved us. And so not only do we go because we're commanded to go, but we love our Lord. And also there's another reason why. Someone came to you. And someone gave you the gospel. So because someone came to you, you should care for someone else and go to someone else. And so we know we're commanded to go, but we also know there's a love for Christ in John 14, 15. We should care for others, and someone came to us, and so we should go. But let's go down to point number two. When we go, we have the capability to go. None of us should be afraid to go. Why should we not be afraid to go? Because we have everything that we need when we go. The Holy Spirit does the witnessing. We use God's word. The only thing that we have to be is a yielded, empty vessel. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And notice what Paul tells Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When we go out, we've got to really come to the conclusion and understanding that when we go out, God is actually trying to witness through us. Notice what it says in Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So the Holy Ghost power is given to you and I primarily to be a witness. Now, he also seals us when we get saved, but primarily his power is given to us, according to this verse, ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So the direct correlation to the Spirit's power coming on us is to be a witness. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Anybody know? as far as power. What happened to the disciples? They began to speak in different languages. So immediately when the Spirit came upon them, they immediately began to speak in languages, and they were immediately witnesses. Now, what does that word mean? We have the power. Power is the Greek dunamis, which we get our word dynamite from. It means force, miraculous power, ability, or strength. So when we go, we have the power to go. We have the ability to go. And so we're not doing anything in our own power. Isn't that great? Amen. So we're not doing this in our own power. It's not us. And if we think it's us, then guess what? The Holy Spirit's not working. So we have the power to go. Not only do we have the power, by the way, if we have the power to go, and if the power is going to be there to do this, can we not utilize the power? Yes, we cannot utilize the power. Amen. And if we don't utilize the power, guess what? We're not going to get a whole lot done. By the way, the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to win the souls, not us. I got that? So it is God's power that's going to do the job, not us. That's why we have to use the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we have the purpose to go when we go as well. Not only do we have the power, but the purpose. And the purpose, he says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. The word witnesses is the Greek martus, which means martyr or a record or a witness. By the way, many of you probably aren't going to be called on to die for Jesus. Just face it. But he does want us to live for him. Amen. So there is a difference. So we may not be called to die for him, but we are called to be a witness. So not only do we have the power to go, we've got the purpose to go. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. But then see, we have the place to go. He told him to go into Jerusalem and into Judea and into Samaria. Now, what was Jerusalem? Jerusalem was the immediate area. Where's our immediate area? Right here. This is our immediate area. Where's your immediate area at your job? At your job. Where's your immediate area at school? At your school. Where's your immediate area at home? In your community. So Jerusalem, Judea was the surrounding area. Samaria was the area no one wanted to go. And then everywhere else they were. Amen. By the way, we happen to be in Samaria right now. People are trying to move out of this area, not into this area. Amen. So we happen to be in a Jerusalem right now. So we've got the power, we've got the purpose, and we've got the place. And then every place we have people, amen. So we've got the people. You'll find people in all these places, and there's not many places where you go where you won't find people, amen. Who did Jesus come to die for? People. He came to die for people. And so when you look at this next point, both A, B, and C, we have everything that we need. And the purpose, the power is here on your sheet there. The place is there. The people are there. The last thing that we need, anybody take a guess? Your next point there? Prayer. We can't witness without prayer. That's where the power is at. We've got to pray. If we pray for God's Spirit's filling, His Holy Spirit's timing, great things can happen. Notice the word boldness means outspokenness, frankness. Pastor White, look up Acts 4:29 for me. So when we actually go out to do this, we have everything that we need. Acts 4:29, the disciples here are going to pray and boldness is going to be given. And read the next verse too. And 31, too. Amen. So they asked in verse 29, they said, grant us that with all boldness we can speak. And what did God give them? Boldness. And when God gave them boldness, they were filled with the Holy Ghost to speak, and they spake boldly. When we go out door knocking, we don't have to be afraid because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Now, do we sometimes have a spirit of timidity? Yes, we do. Let's just be honest. We don't know who's on the other side of that door. We don't know if it's a deranged lunatic or a mass murderer. We don't have a clue who's on the other side of that door. But the Bible is not talking about that type of timidity or concern. The Bible is saying we have the power to win someone to Christ. We have the ability within us to give them the gospel, not so much the concern of the mass murderer on the other side. The power is in the Spirit's ability to give the gospel so that someone can get saved. So we've got that power. We've got that ability. So we have everything that we need according to Acts 1:8. We've got the power. We've got the purpose. We've got the place. We've got the people. And we've got the prayer. The next thing we need to do is just go out and put it all into practice. Amen. And again, it is really easier to do than what it seems like up here. More times than not, you're not going to get people saved. But you will get an opportunity to put something in their hands. But when you do get someone saved, God is working. God is working. And God is still saving. So our job is just to show up and yield ourselves to be used of God to see people saved. Amen. We're going to start out this Saturday. We'll go out. We have a little sheet of paper. Then I have the streets on there. We'll go out two by twos, knock on people's doors, and try to get the gospel in their hands. You may say something like this guy said. You may say something totally different. Normally, I'll say, hey, good morning. I'm Pastor Dawson from Shining Light Baptist Church. This is Pastor White, and we're out in the community inviting people out. And do you have a church home that you go to? Normally, I'll say something like that. They say yay or nay, depending upon what I'll say next. And even if they say yes, I'll say, well, more importantly, do you know if you were to die, are you sure you're going to heaven? And I always try to get that question in if I can. Amen. And it's really just that simple. If they give me the opportunity, and guess what? Got my Bible ready. Next week, we're going to try to mark our Bibles and use your Roman roads next week. Amen. Anybody got any questions on tonight on what we have here so far? Again, I put this all in print on paper so that you can take it home and read it over. So we really didn't go over anything in depth, but please look over the things that we have here. Get prepared, because sooner or later, someone will want to get saved around you. And it's going to be your job to take your Bible and lead them to Christ. Yes, Ms. Austin? Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. Especially when you're going by twos, you know, somebody's always the silent prayer partner, whereas the other one does the talking, and you switch that up each time, or one may be more confident than the other. So normally you have that prayer partner that is there. Yes, Pastor White. Yes, we wouldn't throw you to the wolves like that. So don't think, oh, they're going to throw me to the wolves. Amen. You won't have to say anything until you actually feel comfortable in saying something. Amen. So don't fear that at all. Amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Amen. We're going to trust God to give us boldness for this Saturday. For those that can come, don't forget, if you desire to come but you cannot come, please let Pastor White know. He can give you a visit that you can make on the off time. And you can make that visit during your own time, but we will do the majority of the door knocking on Saturdays and other scheduled times. Pastor White, why don't you go ahead and close us in a word of prayer? Amen. Please look over the documents that you have and be ready. Ladies, again, I understand if you can't make it this particular Saturday because it's the ladies' meeting, but the next Saturday we'll be right back at it again. Pastor White.